Morning.
Good morning,
and welcome. In his letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul states that he was not sent to baptize, but to preach the gospel. In some respects, St. Paul understood his role in the advancement of God's kingdom. This insight of St. Paul reminds me of an important lesson that I had learned during my years of studying to become a deacon. When I first began to discern my vocation, some of the concerns and hesitations that I had experienced dealt more with me focusing upon my weaknesses rather than upon my strengths. I had spent a lot of time thinking about all the various things that a deacon does. Naturally, I started to list them in accordance to what I thought that I would be able to do successfully. This then kind of began to create a little bit of a struggle with the idea that maybe I was being called, because what began to happen was I started to now focus on those things that could possibly be a struggle for me to accomplish. I'll never forget my first deacon class weekend. In all honesty, I had spent much of that weekend in awe of my classmates. The skills, talents, and intellect demonstrated with regards to the faith by some of them, it just made me feel like I was in over my head. In time, I began to realize something that I had never really considered previously. That even though all of us felt called to serve God as deacons, we were not all called to serve in the same capacity as one another. Some of my classmates, they seem to have a natural ability when it comes to preaching. Yet others seem to be blessed with a certain strength and grace that enables them to minister to the sick and to the dying. Yet still others, they appear to be totally at ease when defending the faith against some of the most staunch non-believers. My ordination class, we consisted of a group of men who came together from all walks of life with various strengths and skills, and who all felt called by our Lord to serve Him as deacons. In our gospel, we are introduced to the first days of our Lord's ministerial work, which also includes hearing the calling of the first disciples. Matthew's gospel almost seems to place quite a bit of emphasis upon the region in which Jesus begins to preach within. Even though this region consists of some rather difficult names to try and pronounce, it is worth noting the significance of this region within the history of the Israelites. It was sometime around 730 BC or so that Israel began to experience a series of invasions from outside forces and nations, beginning with the Assyrians, who had invaded Israel within this particular region next to the Sea of Galilee. Therefore, Jesus begins his ministry to people living in an area that was the first to suffer persecution at the hands of foreign authorities, and who had most likely been waiting the longest for a Messiah to come along. Another significant point to consider is that the region that Jesus first goes to begin his ministry of preaching, it was not an area that consisted of only Jewish people. It also consisted of inhabitants who were Gentiles, as well as other non-Jewish people. The Gospel of Matthew reveals to us that Jesus began his ministry to a group of people who had been suffering for a long time, along with revealing to us that the gospel of the kingdom is not intended to be shared with just a select few, but rather with all of God's children, regardless of their status or situation in life. From there, Matthew continues to reveal the events of the beginning of Jesus' ministry by also sharing with us a rather unique insight into the calling of the first disciples, particularly when we consider the fact that it is Jesus who goes and calls them to be his disciples. Now, this is a point that can be easily overlooked by us in modern day, especially when we so oftentimes view vocations as being a call from God. We naturally perceive that it is God who calls us, and this is true. Therefore, when we hear Jesus calling his disciples, it seems like a rather natural event. Yet, in the time of Jesus, it was not the master or the teacher that went out in search of disciples. It was the disciple who went in search of a teacher. Right here, we can notice a significant difference in the ministry of our Lord as compared to the ministry of others, such as John the Baptist, who also had disciples of his own. When it comes to Jesus' own disciples, where did he go to find them? Where did Jesus go in search of disciples to help him in proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom? Did he go into the temple or into a synagogue? Did he go into another place of worship? Did he go seeking men of great prayer lives? Did he ask his family, his friends, for recommendations? He did none of this. Instead, he went to their place of work, along the Sea of Galilee, where he saw two brothers, just ordinary men, hard at work at their trade. And he called out to them and said, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Peter and his brother Andrew had heard the voice of God calling to them, not in a dream like St. Joseph, not while they were at prayer, but rather while they were at their places of work. And they responded to his voice by leaving the nets that they had just cast into the sea. As they began to follow Jesus, and they began to share in his ministry of proclaiming the gospel message. Some may look at this as some type of feel-good moment. But by all practical purposes, it was a pretty insane response to the call of discipleship. Fishing, it wasn't a hobby for them. It was a way of life. They were working in one of the most prosperous industries of the region. And they had people who were most likely dependent upon them for a variety of reasons. To put it another way, think of it like this. Think of a surgeon who has just begun performing a procedure upon a patient, who then all of a sudden hears the voice of God call to him to come and follow him. And the surgeon decides to walk away from the operating table. This is the kind of intensity that exists in the response of the first disciples in answering God's call to follow him. Then a little further along the shoreline, Jesus spots two other brothers. And he calls to them as well to come and follow him. And just like the first two, they also leave the nets that they were tending to. But it goes a step further. They also leave their dad in order to become disciples of our Lord. As intense and shocking as the response of the first disciples' actions may have been to becoming followers of Jesus, it also serves as a good lesson to all of us, that sometimes answering the call to be a follower of our Lord, it may mean that we need to make certain sacrifices in our lives for the greater good of helping advance the kingdom of God. For some, this could mean sacrificing a very good paying job for one that pays less, but yet allows us to answer God's call in our lives. For others, the sacrifices that we are called to make, it may mean that we sacrifice some of our time that we spend with our families in order to spend it with others as we share the good news of the gospel. There is another point to consider with regards to the calling of the first disciples. They responded to our Lord's call and invitation to follow him because, most likely, by the power of the Holy Spirit, They saw something in Jesus that was attractive and desirable. Think about it. Unlike us, the disciples, they don't know much about Jesus at this point in time. He has not performed any miracles. He has not healed anyone. And he definitely has not walked on water in their presence. The only thing that Jesus has done thus far in his ministry, according to the Gospel of Matthew, has been to pick up right where John the Baptist, at the time of his arrest, had left off, by preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Realizing this, then we have to wonder, just what is it that the disciples had seen in the face of our Lord that would have had such a powerful impact upon them that they would have willingly left their businesses as well as leaving their families to follow him because of the gospel? Maybe the only thing to say is that it could quite possibly be that what the disciples had seen in the face of our Lord and Savior was truly the incarnation of the gospel. St. Francis of Assisi is so oftentimes credited with having said, "Preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words." Maybe the disciples saw in Jesus the gospel being not only preached, but also lived out. We are all called to share in the ministry of our Lord and Savior, of sharing the gospel message with all those we encounter in our lives. This is what drives our evangelization efforts in this world. Yet we must remember that the good news of the gospel, before its proclamation, must, if it is to make any sense at all, be lived out by the people of God. The call to discipleship, it is not just a call to preach the gospel, but it is also a call to live it every single day of our lives. Let us then have the courage to answer the invitation of our Lord and Savior to follow him by the way in which we live our lives this day.